In your Bibles, please, for our second reading, Genesis chapter 21. Genesis chapter 21, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah, as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, Who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, Cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight, because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, Let it not be grievous in thy sight, because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also, of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and took bread and a bottle of water, and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bowshot, for she said, Let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called unto Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the captain of his host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. Now, therefore, swear unto me here by God that thou wilt not deal falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son, but according to the kindness that I have done unto thee, thou shalt do unto me and to the land wherein thou hast sojourned. And Abraham said, I will swear. And Abraham reproved Abimelech because of a well of water, which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. And Abimelech said, I wot not who hath done this thing, neither didst thou tell me, neither yet heard I of it, but today. And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them unto Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. And Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, What mean these 7 ewe lambs which thou hast set by themselves? And he said, For these 7 ewe lambs shalt thou take of my hand, that they may be a witness unto me that I have digged this well. Wherefore he called that place Beersheba, because there they swear, both of them. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. And then Abimelech rose up, and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, and they returned into the land of the Philistines. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. So in verses 1 through 5, the very beginning, I hope you heard over and again where the word of the Lord, the command of the Lord, everything that it was spoken by the Lord, did indeed come to pass. Beloved, let us pause for a moment in verses 1 through 5 and remember that whatever comes forth of God's mouth is indeed to be heeded. It is true. It is as unlikely as it seems to us, it will come to pass. And it will come to pass very often through unlikely means. Just think of Abraham and Sarah's condition and what has transpired in their house. 100-year-old man and his wife, who is near that age, will have a child of promise who will be the heir of the world. Everything that God said will come to pass. Do not let the world, do not let the enemy of your souls, and do not let your acquaintances, even those who may call themselves fellow Christians, bring doubt in your mind with regard to the word of God. Every word of God is true. It is like silver tried in the fire 7 times. So over and again in these first few verses then, we have those things said. So then, Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. Of course, you know that the word Isaac, Yitzhak, is an onomatopoetic word, right? Onomatopoetic, which means it sounds like the thing that it's supposed to represent. When someone laughs, Yitzhak, that's his name, laughter. Abraham laughed. Sarah laughed when they heard that they were going to have a son. At one point, they laughed in incredulity and faithlessness, and at another point, they laughed in rejoicing. Do you hear that? Sometimes we read God's promises and we say, can the Lord set a table in the wilderness? And then we laugh as we're feasting from that table. Right? Beloved, do not doubt the word of God, but laugh. Laugh and rejoice when God brings to pass all that he has said. So then, and she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck, for I have borne him a son in his old age. Some would hear that as a precursor to Hannah and Mary, sort of a little bit of prose there coming from the voice of Sarah there. I think that's probably correct. It was a little refrain, a little mnemonic that she developed to keep herself laughing, if you will. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. Well, of course, the weaning of a child means that greater step of independence. No longer is he dependent upon his mother. Now he is a child more in his own right, right? This presses him forward in his maturity. And Abraham celebrates that with a feast. Notice that it's not his birthday that's celebrated. It's his weaning that is celebrated. And I'll just remind you, and please don't hear Pastor Todd saying, don't celebrate your birthdays. You can if you like. You're free to do that. But there are two birthdays in Scripture that are recorded. Neither of them are good days. You just might remember that the next time you're having a birthday celebration. Have a godly one and enjoy. Okay, so now we go to verse 9. On the day that Isaac was weaned, there seems to be a little bit of sibling rivalry or jealousy between Ishmael and Isaac. And so Sarah spies Ishmael mocking the child of promise. And she turns to Abraham and she says to him, these two need to go. They need to go. Now, to us, that sounds harsh. It was not uncommon in the ancient Near East to send out a son that was not the heir. This is not uncommon at all. And remember that Ishmael at this point is a lad of some 14 or 15 years of age. It's not like he's a little boy that is being sent out. And so out they go. It was very grievous to Abraham that this was required. Remember a few chapters back when Abraham is talking with God about his heir, and he said, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." Obviously, Abraham had a great affection for his son Ishmael. And so to see him go would have been very difficult for him. And yet the Lord assures him that this is right. This is proper. There must be no confusion who is the child of promise and who is not. And so we have a division then in the house of Abraham. I might say that even that righteous man had trouble in his household because he took himself a second wife. We do not condone polygamy in any of the patriarchs. And the problems that we see that always ensue are only indicative of that. All right, so then in verses 12 through 14, we see Abraham hearing from the Lord that this is what he's supposed to do, and then his early obedience. Keep in mind this phrase, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning." You're going to hear this in the next chapter as well, Lord willing, because this speaks to Abraham's ready obedience. We want to emphasize Abraham as a type of saving faith, don't we? Because the Bible does that. But let's also remember that the saving faith that Abraham had toward God always issued forth in early and diligent obedience. We don't want to separate those things. We don't want to confuse them as to make the obedience the ground of his justification. Obviously not. But we don't want to separate them either. Okay, so he rose up in the morning, he took bread and a bottle of water. Verse 14, he gave it to Hagar, he put it on her shoulder, and then he took the child and sent her and him away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Notice that Beersheba is anachronistically named. It's named here by Moses before Beersheba got its name. That doesn't happen until the end of the chapter. It just tells you that Moses wrote after these events took place. That's all. Okay, so Hagar thinks they're going to die. She's not particularly faithful. And yet, notice also that she separates herself from the lad. And the Lord, it says, heard her voice? No, heard the voice of the lad. Right? In our class that we have on Friday mornings, and also on Thursday nights, we've been talking about the sacraments and what kind of outward efficacy the sacraments have, if they have any at all. And there is a sort of outward efficacy. It's not a saving efficacy necessarily. Although if it is a saving, if it is a faithful individual, if it is a person that will eventually come to faith in Christ or has faith in Christ, then there is a greater outward efficacy. But there is an outward efficacy even upon those who are only attached visibly to the church, in that they come under its gracious influences, although that grace may not be for them. And there is profitability even to the reprobate from being in the church. Notice here that Ishmael's association to Abraham and the sign of the covenant being upon him, it says that the Lord heard him. This is what we would expect. It is right and proper for the Lord to hear him with that sign of the covenant upon him. And then the Lord speaks to Hagar. "Fear not, God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise and lift up the lad and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation." Remember, God promised that it will come to pass. And so the Lord opened her eyes, and she saw that well of water that will come to be named Beersheba. And so God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer, obviously able then to provide for himself. And that was part of the blessing that God gave to Ishmael. Okay, so then we have the last portion of the chapter. We'll be very brief here. This is the same Abimelech we saw in the last chapter. He recognizes that God blesses Abraham. As a matter of fact, he's been an instrument of that blessing, hasn't he? And so he wants to make a covenant with Abraham that they will never turn in hostility one toward the other. It is sort of interesting, however, in that the Lord has already seen fit providentially to have them turn toward one another in hostility already, in that the servants of Abimelech have driven Abraham away from the well which he had dug, this well of Beersheba, the well of the oath. It's a very interesting passage in that Abraham and Abimelech make a covenant, and Abraham brings all of these animals. And, of course, that would be that covenant ceremony where they divide those animals and they pass through them together, although it's not explicitly said here. It's implicit in the passage. But then Abraham does something very interesting. He says, off to the side here, I have these 7 ewe lambs. And Abimelech spies those, and he says, what are those for? Why are you bringing those as a part of this ceremony? We have these animals that we've already undertaken with. And he says, these are a witness of my words that I have digged this well. I'm bringing these 7 ewe lambs because your servants have treated me like a small and insignificant piece of cattle. These 7 ewe lambs are a witness that I have digged this well and that you have treated me unjustly. And of course, Abimelech, for his part, says what he said to God before. I didn't know. And so Abimelech has opportunity to set things right again. And they themselves make that covenant. Those 7 ewe lambs witness then for Abraham that he had digged that well. And so that's where he settles, unmolested now by the servants of Abimelech, with a well. And what does the patriarch do then? He calls upon the name of the Lord at the well, Beersheba. With that then, let's stand and call upon the